Well, greetings to you all in Jesus' name. I'm glad to be here, and I bring greetings from my family, Catherine and the girls, as well as from Living Hope Church, our congregation. This is part of my family. I consider you to be so. Now, I've been coming here several times. I think it's now your turn to come to Zambia as I look around. Yeah, so you welcome. So Reed and Aloha, you welcome. And Karen and Kim and names are flying away. Kaboos. Yeah, so you all welcome. And so I saw Scobies. You also welcome. Who else do I see? John and Ruth there. Okay, so you welcome. And as well as David. And you welcome. So the way is open. And this morning, I also have some friends that specifically came to fellowship with us and to connect with us. There is Rolina Raymond. She goes to Broadway Church. Thank God for you. And also Karen and Sam. So God bless you. Thank you for coming. I'm here for just a quick run through for missions work. I've done one preach already in Suri at Jesus Way Fellowship, an Arabian church, people coming from Iraq, Syria, and all those places. So I spoke there the other night, and God blessed us. A number of people came to know the Lord there, just imagine. So God is working and doing great things. And then I'm here today, Wednesday, I'm off to Winnipeg for pastor's conference, then back on Saturday, preaching at Peace Mennonite Community Mennonite Church in Richmond. So please covet your prayers. Pray for me that the Lord may grant me the grace. On the 26th, I go back to Zambia. Okay, how does that sound? Okay, so please join me as we read the scriptures together. If you may rise to your feet to Ephesians chapter 4. Begin from verse 1 up to 6 in the New King James Version. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, we look to you this morning and part of this afternoon. We submit ourselves to the authority and power of this word, praying that, O Lord God, reading it and hearing from it being preached, that you may transform our lives, that we may be different people, O God. I pray that standing in your grace this morning, you may unction me by the Holy Spirit and grant me prophetic utterance, that I speak your word as your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seats. I want to speak to you briefly this morning on living worthy of our calling by embracing the spirit of unity. Living worthy of our calling by embracing the spirit of unity. You know, God has called us from different places. Not that we deserved it, not that we qualified, not that we impressed him. In fact, we did not impress him at all. He had judged us, and we are eternally judged, condemned to be destroyed forever. But out of his own love and out of his own personal counsel, he counseled himself and chose you and me before the foundation of the world and made us significant in his kingdom. So this is the calling that we've been called called to you and I. You know, it's a glorious calling. We have read through in the book of Ephesians, and you've heard preachers stand here talking about this calling. It's a calling that is so honorable, so deep, so glorious, and, you know, so gratifying, come to think of it. You know, think of yourself having failed your exams and you need to go to UBC. And for some reason, the Senate at UBC, using their criteria, you find yourself on the top list. Wow, I've made it. So you have made it into the kingdom of God because God decided, not because you decided. So you and I are called by the power of the Holy Spirit, only by the power of the Holy Spirit, to make a difference with our calling. So we need to make a difference with our calling. And remember, we are called together. You are not called alone. We are called together to live in the power of the Spirit and live missional lives in this dying world. And that's the reason why we are called together. You know, the beauty and power of unity lies in its diversity. We are called, you know, coming from different ethnic backgrounds, different social status, and different, you know, colors, and just different aspects of our lives. We are called together by the miracle of God. And when God looks at us, he sees beauty. We are only beautiful in diversity. Otherwise, if we do not live according to that calling and unity, then the grace of God continues to work in us until we become one. God's purpose is that we may finally become one. Right now, we are work in progress. And God is working in us. He's not done with us. He's not finished with us until our lives are interwoven into each other. You see, the Holy Spirit has created this unity, and the duty we have is only to keep it. It's already there. This unity is already in the church. So you and I have the responsibility to keep it. So are you keeping this unity? Are you playing your role in keeping the unit of the Spirit in the church of Jesus Christ? You know, the Ephesians were called to keep the unity by being loyal to the truth and keeping in step with the Spirit. Being loyal to the truth of God's word, not just to accept it as the truth by mental acceptance, but to accept it as a transforming revelation that comes to transform our lives. It permeates all of our lives, all of the perspectives of our lives. It permeates through our social lives, our dreams, our visions, and the fiber of society, and it changes us so that we may live it, we may walk it, we may talk it, we may speak it, we may live it. In all that we do, we are led by the truth of God's word. So we need to be loyal to that truth that sets us free from our sin and keeping in step with the Spirit who is the owner of this unity. We give our lives to him. We allow him in our lives that he may transform our lives. He may lead us. He may inspire us. He may encourage us. He may energize us. He may equip us and empower us in every respect. Now, the power of unity demands from us humility, because it's not about us, it's about God. It's not about our qualifications, it's about his choice. So we are humble before him and we submit to his will. And because we are called together and God is working in our lives that we may form this unity day by day, we will be gentle with one another. We are coming at different levels of maturity, so not everyone will play the game according to the same rules. Some are going to miss. So you give them chance. You correct them with gentleness, with care, with love, and with patience. Because not everyone is going to behave in the same manner. The talk will be different, After all, the languages will be different as well. The characters will be different, but we'll be patient with one another in Christ Jesus, in the same manner in which God is patient with us. Can you imagine if God lost his cool? We'll be done. So we need to be patient with one another. Very patient with Michael until he comes to Zambia. Okay. Now, what am I saying here?
What are you saying?
Hey, I've got some sheep right there. So, dear friends, I'm saying that the church is called to walk in the power of the unity of the Spirit. We are called to walk in that power. You know, the power of the Spirit is only demonstrated through the unity of the church. You can only experience, you know, everything that the Spirit has to do with the church when we come into this unity. And the church will flow in the corporate power when believers' lives are built on the foundations of unity. There are foundations that make this possible. And these foundations are demands upon us. And these demands are not burdensome. They are a joy. They bring us release. They bring us freedom. They lead us to our destiny. That's where we are destined to be as the people of God. Firstly, in these foundations, we have the calling to one body. Is part of our foundation, the calling to one body. There is only one body. There's only one church. There's only one Christ. If you want to see Christ, look at the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the organic presence of Jesus in this world. So if you want to see the life of God, look at the life of the church. And that's why I'm saying we are a work in progress. We are still work in progress. So the life of the church should be reflecting the life of Jesus. If people need healing, they need to come to the church. When people need food, they need to come to the church. People need wisdom, they need to come to the church. People need direction, they need to come to the church. But until you find direction, so that you do not mislead people to go to other places. The church is one body in Christ. You and I are part of this body of Christ. And we belong to this body by the Spirit. It is the work of the Spirit who has baptized us into this body. You know, this is the most challenging baptism you can ever experience, to be baptized in people. You know, where you have no choice, you just find yourself dipped in people. And that includes Chris Mukwavi. All right, so everyone else present. So you are baptized in people and you have no choice as to who should belong to you and who you should belong to. You have no choice at all. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 13 says, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body and given the one Spirit to drink." So for as long as we continue drinking of the one Spirit, we are in the formation of this unity of the body. Let us continue to drink. Let us continue to drink. Now remember, I'm not ending at "let us continue to drink." It's drinking the Spirit of the living God. Okay? Any other spirits, they take you in opposite directions. So let's continue to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Body life flourishes on everyone's significance. It means that each and every one of you is significant, is important. Starting from the youngest up to the oldest, everyone is significant. We are part of this body. There's no one who has a lower grade in the body of Christ. We are one. So we need to walk worthily of this calling by ruling over self. Self has the tendency of projecting yourself above others and beyond your limits. So we need to rule over self and speak to self and say, "You are part of the body. We are Jesus in this world." We are Jesus. We are small Jesus or small Jesuses. When people look at you, you are a small Jesus. In real time, you are. And that's why in Acts chapter, is that chapter 13? Yeah, when the believers, the disciples in Antioch were first called Christians. Why? They were behaving like small Jesus in the same manner in which Jesus was behaving. That's how they saw these disciples behaving. Christian was a nickname. It was a derogatory name, you know. So it wasn't like a cool name. No. So, dear friends, if you really want to be called a Christian, then behave like Jesus. Be where Jesus would love to be at this hour and what he would love to do. Are you following? Secondly, we have a calling. We are called by one Spirit. You know, you cannot come to God by your own efforts. Remember, I told you that just by the looks of it, you don't impress God. No, you don't. So it is the Holy Spirit who calls you. He calls you through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel and the conviction power that he has. He calls you. In John 3 verse 5, Christ speaking to Nicodemus says, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we are given birth by one Spirit. And this is foundational to making this unity, missional unity in the church. We all need to experience the birth of the Spirit of God. Beyond that, we all need to be drunk by the same Spirit. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, we were all given the same Spirit to drink. We all need to be filled with the Spirit. And not just one time. We have to continue living in the filling grace of the Spirit. Always asking him to fill us, make us, form us day by day. Refresh us that the life may continue. You see, to be baptized in the Spirit, you know, will lead to the same fruit. When all of us are being filled with the Spirit, think of it that we produce oranges. No one will produce figs or plums or strawberry. We shall all produce the same fruit. And because we shall all produce the same fruit, the world will see and know that there goes Jesus. Because this Jesus is bearing the same fruit. So let us work for the common good of all in the church, because we are called by one Spirit to make a difference, to work this unity in the body of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we are called in one hope and to one hope. We are called in one hope and to one hope. This becomes foundational to make this unity possible. Now, Jesus is the hope of glory. Yes, there may be darkness and gloom in this world. There may be calamities that befall us. There may be challenges in our lives. There will be sicknesses that will come, curable and incurable. They will come and hit us. There will be discouragement that will come. There will be failures that come. But beyond all that, we have a living hope. We have Jesus who has walked this way before. And because Jesus has walked this way before and has overcome, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Christian faith is anchored on Jesus' resurrection. And we receive resurrection life that constantly keeps us going and sail through challenges of life. It is that life that keeps us going. The one hope that we have strengthens us together. Because of this hope, you want to go and lift up the discouraged. You want to go and lift up the hopeless. You want to go and lift up one who has lost spirit. Because we have one hope. Together we shall stand, and together we have won. So we need to encourage the weak. Look out for the weak among us, and let's encourage one another. Let's run this race together so that we may flow together as the living church of Jesus Christ. Is it number four now? Okay. We are called to one Lord. We need to be awake. I'm going really quick here. We need to be awake. We are called to one Lord. And by one Lord, Jesus has been exalted as Lord over all. There is no other authority that we are answerable to apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, for there is no salvation given to any other except through the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is there just one person who says amen in this church? So I want to hear you. I mean, if you hear me, if you get me, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Dear friends, the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. The Spirit of Christ, abides in us. The Spirit of Christ makes it possible for us to belong to Christ. Because if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, then you do not belong to Him. And the Holy Spirit makes us acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Our allegiance is to Him alone. We do not live our lives by ourselves and accountable to ourselves. We must let Jesus have preeminence in our lives. We must let Jesus have authority in every sphere of our lives. Don't give Him, one side of your life and block Him off the other side of your life. You need to let Him have the whole of your life. Let Him have your future. Let Him have your dreams. Let Him have your career. Let Him have your social life. Let Him have your married life. Let Him have your family. Let Christ be Lord. And when you let Him be Lord, then you see Him work out a miracle in the situation that pertains to your life. So let us live our lives in submission to this Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is until each one of us is submitted to the same authority that we are going to see this unity I'm talking about become a reality in the church. We remain disunited when our loyalties are divided. So we need to commit ourselves to one Lord. Is it number five now? Called to one faith. Called to one faith. What have you believed? Who have you believed in? Believers are called to one body of belief. And this belief is in the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The one who qualified, whom the Father said, "Today I have begotten you. Today you have become my Messiah," to bring the lost to Himself. This is the Christ, the one who came and He took upon Himself our flesh, the one who came as God among us. He dwelt among us. He took upon Himself your weakness. He took upon Himself your sin, my sin, your failures, and everything that hinders us. He took it upon Himself, nailed it to the cross. And when He died on that cross, He killed your curses. He killed your generational curses. He killed everything that hindered you. And when He was buried, all that was buried under the ground, the Bible says on the third day, He rose again by the miracle of the Holy Spirit into the newness of life. With Him, you and I rise to defeat the enemy in our lives. Amen. We have defeated the enemy, and everything else that hinders us has been defeated by the power of the resurrection. This is one faith that we believe in together. So the revelation of Jesus is anchored on this word. So let us guard the faith to which we have been called by walking worthy of that faith. Is it number six now? I should be ending soon. God, through one baptism. God, through one baptism. You know, faith in Christ is a union with him. It is in union with him. When you put your faith in Christ, you literally become united with Christ. Not only do you clothe yourself with Christ, you become united with Christ. You become one with Christ. And there is no separation once you are united with him. So believers, you and I are initiated into the faith, this faith, by baptism. We are initiated into this faith by baptism. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, the Bible speaks of this baptism as a spiritual circumcision where Christ cuts away our old nature. It is cut away. All the debt cut away. There's a cutting away. When you come to Christ, there is a cutting away of the old nature and new life comes into you and we are initiated into this body. We become members of this body, united by the power of the Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 21, this baptism is a binding pledge of loyalty to Christ. You can only become loyal to Christ. We can become loyal to Christ together if we have experienced this one baptism together. And I want to say that demonstrated through the physical immersion in water is a command that every believer must obey and be initiated, because that is performing a miracle in your life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 21 says it's a pledge of a new conscience of loyalty to Christ. Picture the journey of the children of Israel from Egypt through the Red Sea. When God parted the Red Sea, the Bible says it was like baptism. That water saves you now, not by the removing of dirt from your body, but a pledge of a new conscience towards God. So we need, you know, to go through this initiation. So let us embrace the corporate identity we have acquired through baptism. This baptism, this union with Christ gives you a new branding. You are branded as belonging to Christ, belonging to the body, belonging to the body. So there is a rebranding that has gone on in our lives. Some of us need a rebranding this morning. You need Christ to rebrand you. You have a wrong brand on you that has been put on you by the enemy of your faith. You need to remove it and acquire the new brand. Some of you are condemned by certain brands that have come upon our lives. Christ has got a new brand for you this morning. Amen. Is it number seven now? Yes. Lastly, called to one God and Father. Called to one God and Father. Called by one God and one Father. God is one. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are one. They have been one from eternity. And this is the unity that comes upon the church. I don't know if we understand the miracle of oneness. I wish I could really explain it through the miracle of marriage, but the enemy has attacked that as well. You know, he causes divorces to happen in marriages, which is not supposed to be so. Marriage is a concrete exemplification of the unity of God, where two people become one. That's a miracle. You become one, not only in the flesh, but in your spirit, soul, and mind. Your lives are engraved into each other. God intends that to be an eternal union that culminates into God becoming one as Father, Son, Spirit with the church. That's the miracle. So if you are deciding to get married, just know that you do not cut that union. It is an eternal union. Because that speaks of the unity of God. Are you hearing me? Now, I don't have time to unpack all that, but suffice to say, you know, God called us from eternity. You've heard from Ephesians chapter 1 that God called us before the foundation of the world. He thought about you. He saw you. And that's why you are here. Your calling is not cheap. Your calling is phenomenal. Your calling is glorious. Your calling has got eternal value. And he called us with only one purpose, to adopt us as sons and daughters of God in his glory. Remember, I told you that he called us not because we looked beautiful and handsome and nice teeth. No. It wasn't because of that. Actually, we had been downgraded to below value. Below value. I don't know what you can term as below value. Because even cow dung has value. But we were below than cow dung. Just to be thrown away. He picked us up at that time and put value upon us. His own value, he put it upon us. For a great purpose. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, dear friends, we have become children of God. God is our Father. So he has called us from different backgrounds and experiences and made us one. And because we have one Father, we are one. I don't know if you can conceptualize this. I come from a very unique family. You find certain aspects of cultures are different all over the world. My father had three wives, and I'm calling them three wives. Can you call them wives if one has three women in his life? Sure. Somebody's saying sure. Now, that's not allowed in this church. You know, the elders don't allow you here, okay? Yeah, so that was, you know, before the gospel came to my continent, you know, people lived in families like this, but it was really a significant family. My father had three wives, and all these wives were my mothers. Are you hearing me? From each one, he had children, and all the children had full rights to enjoy fatherhood and motherhood in any home where they went. In fact, I come from the youngest wife, so the oldest siblings came from, and we don't have things like stepmother in Africa. There's nothing like stepmother, and there's nothing like half-brother or half-sister. All these are full brothers and sisters, okay? Yeah, so because the denominator is that we have one father. There is one father, and that makes the difference. So all the older siblings, they made sure we were all educated. They didn't say, no, you are from my stepmother. You are from, no, from that woman. No. They educated all of us. Why? Because we all have one common descent from my father. We share the same DNA. That makes the difference. You and I share the same DNA by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because we have one Father, we are one from different ethnicities. We have come together as one church. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And we need to live to enjoy that unity. We need to enjoy, you know, to live, to appreciate this oneness. And that's the reason why I'm here. I mean, I could just hang around in Africa. And I mean, yeah, it's enough to do there. But I recognize you as my brothers and my sisters. And look at the demographics of this church. You know, it's a miracle of God. Take advantage of it and live as one. Love as one, laugh as one, and the world will see that there is Jesus. There is Jesus. And because of that, they will come to the saving power of Jesus Christ. Jesus in John, is that chapter 8, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. He didn't say, no, when you prophesy and speak in other tongues, wow, that is very important and significant, but as you love one another, you live as one. So God is our Father without distinctions. He loves us all in the same way. One of my daughters came to me, Dad, who is your favorite daughter? I looked at her, I laughed, I said, well, you are all my favorites. I love you the same. Dear friends, the calling of believers is marvelous. It's superfluous. It is fulfilling. It is something of great value. You have to appreciate it. Rejoice and, you know, just be fulfilled that you have been called to this body. And we should not trade our calling for anything cheap, for cheap life. We must treasure our calling and live up to our calling. Because our calling does not just have a bearing while we are still here on earth. It has an eternal bearing. What we shall be, we have not seen it yet. But the Bible tells me that when we see Jesus, we shall be like him. Amen. Even Steve will be like Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Dear friends, the power of the Spirit in the one church makes the difference in our corporate witness. Just this power of the Spirit expressed through the oneness of the church will begin to become impactful in our communities. I invite you to continue soldiering on, to continue living your faith, to continue being vibrant in the things of God, because the church, you and I, we are called to walk in the power of the unity of the Spirit and will flow in this corporate power when our lives are built on these foundations of unity. Think about them and work them out in your life and in the church. Amen? Amen. Let's rise up together and just pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Perhaps you hear you saying, Pastor Chris, I've heard Christ calling me today. I need to surrender my life to Christ in a personal way. I need to be born again. I need to give my life to Jesus in a meaningful way. I want to pray for you that the miracle of what I'm just preaching about will be experienced in your life. Peradventure, you are here, you're saying, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be born again. Give my life to Christ today. I want you to just slip up your right hand if you are here. I'll see it and I'll pray for you. Anybody out there who's saying, I want to surrender my life to Christ today. If you are there, I want to pray for you just before we end the service. This is a significant moment. It's a very important moment for you. It may as well be the moment of the beginning of your destiny. I want to pray for you. Maybe you are there and I can't see you. You may just walk in front here as we begin to worship together and just soak into the presence of God this afternoon. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just spend some moment just to worship God. The next 5 minutes, just worship God and just appreciate him. Just thank him for these privileges that I've talked about, that have come not as a result of our own efforts, but because of the will of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, Lord.